Greetings and welcome to the Productcast, also known as the Prodcast. This is your window into the UK's thriving gift industry, covering everything from product design to sales, retail and beyond. The Productcast is brought to you by Gift of the Year and supported by the Giftware Association. I'm your host, Alex Ryan. I'm a product marketing consultant and founder of the agency Marketing 101. And each week I will be interviewing an expert from our wonderful, passionate community. And this week I am very pleased to welcome to the microphone Julia Gash. Hello, Julia. How are you doing?
Hi, Alex. Hi, I'm very well. How are you?
Yes, all good. Thank you. Got a little bit of sunshine down here, which is nice. You're Devon, is that right?
Absolutely. And we've got a little piece of the same sunshine, actually, which is great when the forecast was rain. So yeah, it's all good.
A nice surprise leading into the weekend. Did you see much of the snow this week?
We've not had a flake of snow down here in Devon. It hardly snows. And actually, I've seen lots of photos from my friends up north. And actually, I have to say, I'm a little bit jealous because it looks really cozy and nice and fresh.
Well, especially when there's very little else to do at the moment. But maybe in previous years where we had lots of other things to do and not having to go out in the snow is a good thing. This year, like, you know, it's not exactly disrupting many people's commutes or anything. It could have been rather fun, but no, we didn't have a flake either.
That's just one of the downsides of living by the sea, I guess.
Well, one of the very few, I'd like to think.
Yeah. I'd rather have the upsides which come with it, i.e. beach and the sea.
Absolutely. Have you always been a Devon person?
No, not at all. And you can probably tell by my accent. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I was born in Nottingham, but lived most of my life in Sheffield. But I did spend 3 years in Brighton when I was at university and a few years in London after that. But I moved to Devon 5 years ago in search of a quieter life and a bit of a warmer place to live as well.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much for joining us on the podcast today, the Royal Us. I've given you the heads up. We play a little game to start off with, just to get to know each other nice and quickly, and your business, which for the listeners at home, your business is Julia Gash. Is that correct?
That's correct. My business is my name.
Very, very sensible and easy to remember. For in particular for you. I haven't got a mistaken. It's not, you don't sometimes go under Julia Gash Enterprises. Have I got that from somewhere?
Oh, well, Julia Gash Enterprises is the name of my company. So I'm a limited company and Julia Gash is the brand. So Julia Gash is the brand. Julia Gash Enterprises is the company that owns the IP.
Good. Okay. Well, I might use enterprises just to help people understand when I'm talking to you or about you. That's maybe how we'll work this. But if you would take 30 seconds, please, to introduce yourself to the listeners at home, talking as little as possible about your business, then I will take over and talk about your business for 30 seconds. And you can tell me how I've done, how accurate I've been. Does that sound okay?
Sounds good to me.
Okay. Here we go. An introduction to Julia Gash. 30 seconds on the clock. 3, 2, 1, go.
So my name is Julia Gash and I live by the sea in Devon with my two cats and three chickens. So some of my day is spent looking after chickens, hopefully collecting eggs. And when I'm not doing that and I'm not working, I'm often doing yoga. I do yoga virtually every day. And this year I went on a yoga retreat in Egypt over Christmas, which I was very lucky to get away. And yeah, I have a nice, quiet, relaxed life here by the sea.
Well, that was some excellent timing. I think I pipped you at 31 seconds there, which you'll do. Do you know how many people I've spoken to on this podcast who have farm animals in their life? And I'm so jealous.
Yeah. I got them. They're lockdown chickens. So
oh,
I got
they?
Them. Yeah, I got them in March when I realised I couldn't get eggs. And I've always wanted chickens. I've got a really quite a big rambling garden. So I thought, if I don't do it now, I'm never going to do it. And this is it. And I absolutely love them to bits. So Hilary, Agatha and Nancy, named after three famous Devon women.
Yeah, crime
authors.
Oh, I was going to say authors. Hilary,
Hilary Mantel.
Okay.
Yes, you're right. Two of them are. Hilary Mantel, Agatha Christie, and then Nancy Astor, who was Britain's first female MP. And they're all Devon women. So that's why they've got the names.
How fantastic. Well, there we go. Living the rural dream there. Very, very impressed. Okay, here we go. So I'm going to talk about Julia Gash Enterprises, the business, the brand, for 30 seconds, and you can pull me up on anything, any errors, and then we'll take it from there. Will you give me a 3, 2, 1?
Okay. 3, 2, 1.
Julia's business is eponymously, big word, and quite simply called Julia Gash. Julia is an artist, designer and illustrator whose designs are used on all manner of products from notebooks, journals to water bottles, tea towels, tote bags, mugs, apparel and many, many more. Her designs aim to connect people with place and do so through whimsical, childlike visions and interpretations of maps, landmarks, iconic buildings, landscapes and skylines. Julia recently won Gift of the Year award for her international entry, the award that celebrates the entrant success in overseas markets. Oh, that wasn't good. You'd think I'd be better practiced at that.
It was only do and so, that was all. Everything else was...
I also actually skipped a whole paragraph, which I'm now, I am allowed as host to effectively cheat. I'm going to go back and read that now because I think it's quite interesting. It says, although waiting until midlife to turn her passion into her business, Julia has been drawing her travel adventures in her iconic style, albeit more developed now, since she was 8 years old. Is that right?
Well, yes, but there was a gap probably of 45 years in between. But yes.
So it didn't take you all of that time to get good.
No. So when I was a little girl, we used to go abroad with our trailer tent to Europe on holidays for a couple of weeks every year, which in the 60s, late 60s, was a rarity. Not many people went abroad. So it was a huge, exciting adventure. Mm. And when my mum and dad were cooking their dinner at the end of the day, me and my sisters were just given a drawing pad and told to draw where we'd been and write about where we'd been. And so I was drawing about places like Venice and Bavaria and Paris. And so it was a wonderful thing to do. And I've still got a couple of those books today. So I think that's where my true travel adventures artwork comes from, is from when I was a little girl.
It was always lingering there. It was just there, yeah, just waiting to come back.
It was.
And so what happened in those 45 years? What happened before you found your calling? Or did you find a previous calling?
Yeah. Well, I grew up and I was always loved art at school. Art was always my favourite subject. And I come from a family of creatives. My dad was a printer and sign writer. So I was always used to being in a creative environment. And of course, my Saturday job when I was a kid was cleaning my dad's factory, which I hated, but wow, actually gave me a really good grounding on how to run a print business. So I went to university, I did illustration, I did postgraduate in London in printmaking. And then I set up my own fashion brand in the 90s, which I ran for 10 years, which was print based, basically t-shirts and clothing with cool contemporary prints, which I drew. And that evolved into a lingerie brand, which then evolved into a shop, which I realised I didn't want to run anymore. But I always printed a canvas tote bag for my shop, which was a giveaway when people spent £30. And that led me to run a canvas tote bag business. So I worked with fair trade factories in India and set up a eco-friendly print shop in Sheffield, where I lived. And that became a really fast growing manufacturing business. And so it grew and grew and grew. And I ran that for 10 years when I...
But that
started...
wasn't... They weren't all your prints at that time, were they?
Oh, no. So
they
the
were
main...
just whatever you wanted on it,
yeah,
kind of
so
thing.
We were producing cotton canvas tote bags, jute bags for many of Britain's top brands, retailers, museums, gift shops, printed with their branding, their logos.
Got it.
And how I came to do my artwork was because some of the big retail chains had the budget for canvas tote bags, but didn't have the design work. And I wanted that bag contract for my bag business. So I said, I'll do it. I'll put up my hand. I am a designer. I can do that. So I started designing. And the key turning point was in 2012 when it was the London Olympics. And there was a big retail chain who needed something for their London shops. So I said, well, what about if I draw a map of London and we print that on the bags? And they said, yeah. So we did that. And it sold like hotcakes. And lo and behold, everyone else was then asking me to do other locations. So I quickly started drawing my way around the world.
That's amazing. So that was 2012 Olympics, and it was literally someone came to you and they wanted a design. Yeah.
It was Funky Pigeon, who had train station shops in train stations in London.
Yeah, of course.
And they were stockists for many years. And that's what actually launched my brand. And so I set that up as a separate company because I realized that I couldn't design. I was designing virtually every day for 3 or 4 hours a day. And I'd got a growing business, which was employing 30 people, turning over 2 million, a busy manufacturing print business. And I just couldn't do both. So I made the decision to focus on my artwork and sell my manufacturing company. And that was about in 2015, I made the decision. And it took about 2 years to get to the point where I actually could sell it, which I did to my management team.
Oh, wow. So management buyout.
Management buyout. And they have done so well. They've grown it. I think they've virtually doubled in size again. And they still print my tote bags. So they still print canvas tote bags with my artwork. So we work very closely together.
And still the kind of ethical factory base.
Yes.
Everything. Oh, well, let's give them a shout out. Let's name the business.
Yeah. Bag it, don't bin it.
Bag it, don't bin it. Bigby.
Bidby, B-I-D-B. So it's just acronym.
Don't bin it. Yes. I thought you were telling me the village that they... Oh, it's in the village of Bidby.
It's in the heart of industrial Sheffield.
Wow.
And they're probably Britain's best eco bag manufacturing company in terms of quality and attention to detail creatively. And many of the team that I employed many years ago are still there. And I employed a lot of young guys who were long-term unemployed, young men who couldn't get jobs because the steel industry in Sheffield was just on its knees. And I took them on as apprentices, trained them to become master printers for some of the best British brands. And they're still there today.
Fantastic. Well, that's amazing. And I'm glad we get that plug in. I know that, a lot of brands in our industry have a requirement for tote bags, especially when trade shows come back as soon as possible, please, fingers crossed. So there we go. Bag it, don't bin it. That's fantastic. So, you're still kind of in contact. I mean, kind of no longer a stakeholder, but, still keeping in contact, seeing how they do.
I visit them every year. And coincidentally, they have now set up a separate arm to their company because what I do with my work, I license my artwork all over the world to a curated portfolio of manufacturers who convert my artwork into great products, whether it's tech accessories or fashion apparel or giftware. Most of it is for the giftware market. And actually, Bidby have just set up a side company called Parkwood Springs to license my artwork within the UK. So they will be my main British licensee. So in some ways, my brand is going back home to where it began. It's a great story. It's
great.
I love
that. Full circle.
So enjoying working with the team there.
That's great. That's fantastic. And you mentioned all the products there. Do you have a sign off on every product that uses your design or do you trust people enough to?
I do. I have sign off on every new product because it has to meet ethical and sustainable credentials. And then every single piece of artwork going on every product, most of it is signed off by me, which is quite a tedious process, but it ensures we have brand quality consistently, which is really important, particularly when my work is selling, as far seas as New Zealand and Australia and way over in California, there needs to be as much continuity as is possible.
Absolutely. And so, I mean, sustainability and ethics keeps cropping up. I mean, obviously, huge themes within our industry and most of the world today. But relatively recent, I guess the last half a decade, you've been promoting that since you launched Bag It, Don't Bin It.
Yes, I was very much at the forefront of that when I set up Bag It, Don't Bin It in 2007. And I knew I literally wanted to create a business which was driven by an eco-ethical model. And sometimes that was tough in the early days because we would lose out on contracts where some of the big buyers just went on the spend, on the money.
Right.
They weren't interested. They may have CSR objectives, but they weren't really necessarily living them out. Where that changed was when there was the disaster of Rana Plaza many years ago now, where a lot of workers in Bangladesh died in the factory. And that really sharpened people's focus as to how things were made and who was making them. And so things changed then, as well as an increasing awareness of the damage to the environment of things that we make. And with that, that there are alternatives, and that the business that I set up and the products we were creating had low environmental impact and were sort of genuinely good alternatives to, say, plastic bags and other sort of things that damage the environment. Mm. So, yeah, I was very much at the forefront, but I am a directional designer. You know, I tend to lead trends, and that's sort of what I do. And as such, that also is partly why I'm a creative serial entrepreneur. I sort of tend to do something for about 10 years and then that will evolve into something else. New.
But it's, I think it's great. And I think it's funny. I'm hearing more and more of businesses who are refusing or only accepting to work with, you know, whether it be ethical factories, ethical suppliers, ethical businesses as a whole, including actually Retaissance, who provided one of the Gift of the Year prizes, who are pretty strict, you know, as sales reps, they're pretty strict about who they actually represent, which is an ethos which I think is relatively recent. I don't think people, businesses have been that choosy before.
Yes. Brand values have become an intrinsic part of the brand. And something sort of, I think social media has probably had an influence on that. But brand values are almost as important as the product itself in some cases. So the story behind the brand and what that brand believes in, its philosophy, is all part of the reasons why we buy into something and buy something.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And so it should be. So it should be. So we mentioned, I mentioned Retaissance and Gift of the Year just then. We'll come on to that shortly, because obviously you've had your success and we want to talk about that. It was announced just 2 weeks ago, the results of the Gift of the Year award. So let's talk about that shortly. But just quickly kind of tell us, so now you're drawing most of your days. Is that fair?
Yeah, most of the days I'm creating artwork, most of which is...
Sorry, yeah, drawing dumbed it down a little bit, didn't it?
Okay.
Just drawing. Actually, drawing.
It is just drawing. That's as simple as it is. I draw in a childlike way because that helps to capture a sense of awe and wonderment of the discovery of the world. So I draw in a naive style of illustration using brush and ink. And that will get then digitized and put into a print ready format, which is then printed onto lots of products. But yeah, most days I'm creating artwork and I get design commissions from my licensees from all over the world. So this morning, for example, I drew Montana in Midwest America for a wonderful shop called the Montana Way that's in a little place just by the mountains in Montana. So I was drawing the mountains and a river and bears and all sorts of wonderful things. And that will be turned into products to sell in their shops.
Working from home before and during the pandemic, that hasn't really made any difference? Or did you have an office? Do you have an office space?
No, I work from home. I work on my lower ground floor, which looks out onto my garden. And I have a cat who's literally about a metre away from me. And he's my office companion. The other one's usually on my bed upstairs. And usually my chickens will be pecking at my door, wanting to come in, which they can't. but at the moment, they're in lockdown at the moment, so they can't come up here. But normally they'll be keeping me company during the day as well. So, I work from home, which I absolutely love because I can just go and have a little wander down in the garden when I want to.
I think it's important for creatives to have that kind of freedom. And with research with your designs, I'm assuming these days you don't have to visit everywhere before you draw it.
No. And pre-lockdown, I never visited, very rarely. Most of my, well, virtually everything is designed using Google, whether it's Google Earth, Google Images. From that design brief, I'm then finding images online that match what they've asked me to do. And sometimes I might sort of wander around a little place on Google Earth to get the feel. But essentially, yeah, I discover the world through my drawing boards that sat here. And sometimes it can be really frustrating. I remember one year drawing Bermuda and it was a really cold January day. And I'm thinking, I want to be there. And I sometimes have gone places after I've drawn them thinking, I have to just go there.
Well, you've basically done the holiday research.
Yeah, exactly. I once went to Washington and Oregon and Vancouver in British Columbia because I was drawing them one winter. And I just thought, I've just got to go. And 2 weeks later, I got on a plane and I went.
So you probably started to realise the amount of kind of monuments and amazing buildings that those three locations have. I probably wouldn't be able to resist, actually, if I was doing what you were doing. There'd be a lot more places coming, getting onto my bucket list, certainly.
It's wonderful. Sometimes it's torturous when you sat here and you know it's all out there, but it's also wonderful to explore. And I make a very good pub quiz companion when it comes to geography.
Oh, I can imagine. Wow. Yes, side benefits.
I know my US states. I know my rivers.
So was Bermuda the hardest location you've ever had to draw, do you think?
Oh, I don't think I've ever had a hardest. I think some of the hardest is sometimes in Asia because of sort of the language sometimes, and it's such a different culture, but there's nowhere that's difficult. Everything is a delight to draw. In these current times where we can't travel and we can't see the world, it's offering something for people that they can still enjoy.
So, gift of the year victory. Congratulations. That must have been exciting.
It was. It was a real surprise. I was absolutely delighted. And to win it for the international category was wonderful because that's really what my brand is about.
It's very fitting.
Yeah, absolutely. I was chuffed to bits. I was so excited. And I can't wait to share that with my sort of team and my partners around the world as well. Because obviously I communicate with people from Japan to Australia to California, all over the world. And they're all part of that success too.
Of course. Well, and as of time of recording, listeners, to just pull back the curtain a bit here, we're currently recording on the 29th of January, which means we're before the official announcement due to, you know, the world of Zoom that we now live in. The Gift of the Year Awards took place virtually. So we've done them in advance and the highlights are going to be aired and therefore the announcement will be at Spring Fair at Home, which as you're listening has now taken place, but as we're recording has definitely not. So you haven't told anyone yet. You've kept it. I mean, no. I'm assuming family members, pets, you've let them know.
Yeah, my cats are really proud.
Very
of me.
Aware. Yeah.
Yeah, well they all play a part. They keep me company during the day.
Of course. And it's as much their
sane.
Victory as it's as much absolutely. Their victory as yours, Julia.
Absolutely. Or so they like to say.
And this was your first victory, yeah?
Yes, it is. It's my first victory and the first time I'd actually entered the awards, but I'd had a particularly strong year. Yeah. So although we're in lockdown, because my work sells all around the world, in some parts of the world, it's not as challenging as it is here. And over the last 2 years, I've had an artistic collaboration with a university group in the States.
Right.
And my work is in now almost 200 university campus store shops or
Amazing.
Bookstores, printed onto anything from water bottles to coasters to notebooks to tote bags. And so my artwork's in Yale, Harvard, Brown, Berkeley, Columbia,
wow.
So many universities. And this year and this last year has been so strong that I really, you know, I felt, you know, this is the year, Julie, you'd have really done well over the last year in these creative collaborations. So yeah, let's do it.
Fantastic. Well, I'm really pleased for you that you're again, one of a couple of stories I've heard about people, entering for the first time this year, and having some success. So that's fantastic. And there's also, I believe it was Blue Eyed Sun who had some victory. He has been entering for about 20 years, and his last victory, I believe, was 2003 or 2007. Wow. So, both long overdue people winning this year, and completely new to the competition as well, and business as well. Yes. So that's brilliant. And what's the plans now? I mean, we just started 2021, and it's all a bit weird, but you know, you've got the award behind you. It seems like everything's going your way. Have you got plans, or is it just keep cracking?
Well, I've got two new creative collaborations, two new licensees that I'm working with. So I've been sort of working very closely with them, training them on the brand. They're now putting my artwork on lots of different products. So there's a working very closely with their design team in the early stages until they really get used to how my artwork fits on the, like on an iPhone case or on a tote bag. So working closely with them, which takes up a lot of time. I know that I've got quite a few more university design briefs coming in from America. And once they come in, that will keep me busy for a while. And then we will see. I'm hoping that trade shows will be back in the summer, because I'd love to go into a trade show again. Mm. Yeah, I love trade shows. I've got so many happy memories of trade shows all over the world. And so, yeah, I'm hoping to go to New York now, and we'll see where we are in the world. But yeah, to continue building my brand, I have a couple of potential new partnerships later in the year, but I'm not expecting anything dramatic to happen in the next 6 months until we're out of the pandemic and lockdown.
Of course. Well, best of luck with that. And of course, best of luck with trade shows. Yeah. It's something I think we all want to see back. It's, I think it's, they're the real kind of the pulse, the kind of heart of the gift industry.
And there is something else that I'm planning to do, which is quite significant. I'm waiting for my Kickstarter apprentice to join me, and they'll be then taking over the management of the day-to-day running of my website and my Etsy shop. So that will free me up more, because I'm wanting to get some free time. And in that time, I'm planning to write a book.
Wow.
I'm trying to write a business guide for creative entrepreneurs, because over the years, and the 30 years I've been in business, I've met many creatives who make fantastic products, make wonderful arts or crafts, but the nuts and bolts of running a business is sometimes something that eludes them. And so what I really wanted to do is to create something which really appeals to creatives, a really visual guide on maybe credit control, for example, or HR, or whatever it is.
All the fun stuff.
Something that's, exactly. All the stuff we don't want to do, but actually communicate it in a creative way, because most business books are really dry and academic.
Yeah, right.
And turn people off. So I want to communicate something and write something that really does connect with creatives, so that they can hopefully start up and run better businesses.
You really are a serial entrepreneur, aren't you? I was about to ask, what's your next 10-year when you're done with this one? But that could be next.
Hopefully it won't take me 10 years to write this book, but who knows? It's taken me a year to get to the point of wanting to do it. And that's took me a year to get to the point where I can start. But it will take me some time, but there's no race. But at the same time, there's going to be a lot of people, certainly from lockdown, who have developed their creativity and probably are making products, but they don't really know how to run a business. And there is a lack of real guidance out there that really relates to what they're doing. So that's really what I'm wanting to do.
Well, Julia, I don't know if you can hear, but my dog Sheldon the French bulldog, has just started to snore behind me. And this being an audio medium, I think that probably suggests that our time today is up. I like to use him as my alarm clock when I'm recording podcasts. Thank you, Sheldon. He is out, Sparko. So, thank you so much for joining me today. It really, really is appreciated and a fascinating story. It's been lovely to talk to you. I hope you've enjoyed it as well. I don't know if people enjoy doing podcasts or not.
I love it. I love talking about myself. A lot
so
of people
gracious.
Don't. Yeah, a lot of people don't, but I actually do. And when I do, I think, oh yeah, I did that. I forgot about that. So it pulls up all sort of things you forget about. So it's like, oh yeah, I must remember that. Yeah. So yeah, no, it's been a pleasure, Alex. I've really
good.
Enjoyed.
Well, my pleasure. My pleasure you. Too. Good. So listeners at home, where shall we send them, Julia? Tell me your website.
Yes, my website, it's easy. It's my name. So it's www.juliagash.co.uk.
Fantastic. That's Julia Gash.
JuliaGash.
Good.
How to think then?
It is hard when your brand's such a complicated naming convention that you've chosen there. Yeah, I can imagine. And social media, any particular hotspots you'd like to send people to?
Instagram. So my Instagram account, I think it's Julia_Gash. And I love Instagram. I don't do Twitter. I don't really do much else, but I do love my Instagram.
It's great. Keep it simple. Mm. Why not? Mm. Lovely stuff. Well, there we go. So you know where to go. Well, thank you too to the listeners, of course, for joining us today. And as ever, thank you to the Giftware Association and the Gift of the Year competition for supporting this podcast. If you'd like to visit their websites, Giftware Association is ga-uk.org and Gift of the Year you can find at giftoftheyear.co.uk. Of course, we also have our LinkedIn, we have an Instagram, a Twitter and a Facebook account, plus a dedicated account just for the Gift of the Year. So do look us up and join us. Come and hang with us social wise. If you'd like to talk to me directly, then just head to alexryanuk.com. That's alexryanuk.com. I'd love to hear from you. Thank you again for joining us, Julia. I hope to see you again soon. Hope maybe real life, you know, like maybe autumn fair or something. I mean, I think Harrogate's too much to hope for, but hopefully in real life soon.
That would be novel, wouldn't it? Just, you know, seeing someone face to face.
Humans.
Yeah, I've almost forgotten that was what's that like. But that would be lovely.
Well, to you and to everyone listening, have a productive and safe week, and we'll see you next episode. Bye-bye.